أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. فإن خفتم فرجالا أو ركبانا فإذا أمنتم فاذكروا الله كما علمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. والذين يتوفون منكم ويذرون أزواجا وصية لأزواجهم متاعا إلى الحول غير إخراج. فإن خرجن فلا جناح عليكم فيما فعلن في أنفسهن من معروف والله عزيز حكيم. وللمطلقات متاع بالمعروف حقا على المتقين. كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون. ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. And guard your salat, and especially the middle salah, and stand for Allah Ta'ala devoted in mind and body. Then if you fear an enemy, etc., then do your salah standing or riding. Then when you are in peace and in security, then remember Allah Ta'ala in salah, etc., in the manner that He has taught you what you knew not before. Amidst the laws of divorce and separation on account of the sensitivity of these issues, divorce, then custody, then maintenance, then nurturing the orphan children, etc. So these are issues that bring about a lot of confusion, fights, quarrels, disagreements. And in all this, one needs to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see that He does the right thing, avoids problems, fights. So the thing that will put a person on course is the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. For if he has the remembrance of Allah ta'ala at heart, in mind, very strongly entrenched and established, then he won't be lured to any fight. He will avoid fights, disagreements, quarrels and disputes. And the most complete form of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is namaz. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, guard your salah. You will guard the salah. This comes from the bab mufa'ala. And it has a certain effect, khasiyat. And the khasiyat that it has, that you will take care of namaz, and namaz will take care of you. The performance, the postures, the timings, the devotion, the concentration. You will take care of namaz and namaz will take care of you. And more especially the middle salah, that is the asr salah, because before it are the two namazes of the day, fajr and zahr, and after it is the two namazes of the night, that is the maghrib and the isha. And namaz is not forgiven under any circumstance. You're traveling or you at home, in fear or in peace, in all conditions, namaz is compulsory. It's an obligation. You will not be forgiven leaving out your salah under any situation. Even in the state of fear and the enemy is pursuing you, you are confronted by the enemy, then to perform your salah, even if it has to be performed standing, without doing the postures, but do the salah, or even riding. And those of you who die, leaving behind widows, should bequeath a year's provision for their widowed wives, and a year's residence. But if they, that is the widowed woman, if they leave their residence, then there is no sin upon you in what they do concerning themselves justly and correctly. And Allah Ta'ala is exalted in might and full of wisdom. And for all divorced women, there should be some benefit and some provision in a just and a correct manner. This is a duty for those that are righteous. In this manner, Allah Ta'ala explains to you His commands that you may understand. The law of winding up of estates were not yet revealed. And there was the question of a woman who was widowed, her husband has died, then what should she do? Similarly, in a case of a death, then what happens to the estate, what happens to the children, what happens to the parents, etc. So initially, there was no stipulated share for the parents, for the children, but it was binding for the person that is deceased, for the person that is dying, that he should make out a bequest in favor of his parents or the widowed wife that he will leave behind. So the bequest that he had to make was a bequest of a year's provision, maintenance and residence. It was compulsory for the dying person that he make this bequest for his surviving widow, that she should be given his residence and maintenance for that entire year. But it was optional for the woman that is widowed, that after her 4 months and 10 days have completed, she could leave the home, the marital home, and continue with her life. She wished to marry after 4 months and 10 days, she had the option to do so, but it was compulsory for the dying husband to make out a bequest for that entire year. Later on, when the verses of winding up of estates have been revealed, then this verse was obviously terminated and abrogated. But for all divorced women, there is a provision, there is a maintenance in a just and a reasonable, correct manner. For the woman for whom the husband has not stipulated a mahar, nor has the marriage been consummated, and she has been divorced, then obviously it will be compulsory for the husband to give her some type of a gift, some type of a help at the time of separation. But for other divorced women as well, at the time of separation, it is good that they leave in a good note, and then to give a gift or something will, although not be compulsory, but it is then also encouraged that some type of a gift, according to one's status and position, one should make over to the divorced wife, to minimize the hurt and the injury at the time of separation. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Did you not see to those people who left their homes in thousands for the fear of death? Then Allah Ta'ala had commanded, die. And then He restored them back to life. And Allah Ta'ala is most gracious to mankind, but most people are ungrateful. This is an incident in the Bani Israel, a community numbering thousands, perhaps 20 or 30,000 people, and they were struck by some plague and epidemic. So for the fear of death, they began to leave their homes and flee and run away. So to impress upon them that an epidemic is not death, like how people believe that it is very contagious, and any person that is going to be struck, then he will perhaps die. So to make it abundantly clear to them that death and life both are in the hands of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala willing, then the worst type of epidemic and not a single soul can die. And Allah Ta'ala willing, a small epidemic, thousands of people can die. So Allah Ta'ala, to teach them a lesson, He commanded to die. And all those people that were living in that town, all of them, the last one of them had died. People from the surrounding areas, when they heard so large a population, 20 or 30,000, all have died. So to make and arrange for the burial arrangements was going to be quite difficult. So they just cordoned the place and they left it. After some years, Hizr Qil alayhi salam had passed that way, and he saw all these corpses, disintegrated bones and skeletons, and he got to know that this is what had happened. So he made dua that Allah Ta'ala restore them back to life, so that they know that life and death entirely are in the hands of Allah Ta'ala, and He controls them. It is not the epidemic or the plague. It is Allah Ta'ala that controls these things. His dua was answered and all of them have come back to life. The question about an epidemic or a plague striking a people and what should be the response, that is very clear about this. The one or the whole town which has been struck with an epidemic or a plague, the people living there, they shouldn't leave, and the people from the outside shouldn't enter into the town. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was in Sham, and he was passing a certain district when he heard that that district was struck with an epidemic and a lot of people have died. So he counseled, or he consulted the Sahaba Kiram, that what is to be done, do we enter this town or not? Then there were mixed opinions until Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu had said to Amirul Mu'minin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that in this type of a situation, I know of one hadith. And he related the hadith that those that are in that area, they should not leave. And those that are living in the, those that are in the outside, they shouldn't enter the town. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when he heard the instruction of Umar radiallahu anhu, that we are not going to enter this town. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu had heard this. So he says to Amir al-Mu'minin, "Afiraram min qadrillah," are you trying to flee away from taqdeer, from the decree of Allah Ta'ala? So Umar radiallahu anhu had cautioned him, saying, had someone else besides you mentioned this type of a thing, it was a person of your learning and standing, then it is not correct and appropriate for you to say something like this. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, nafirru min qadrillah ila qada'illah. We are escaping, we are leaving, fleeing from taqdeer to the command of Allah Ta'ala. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala brought to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when a place is struck with an epidemic, then don't enter. So the fact that we're not entering is not of our own. It is in accordance to the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you do not enter. After all, the causes of death are also created by Allah Ta'ala, and solutions to problems, sicknesses, etc. are also inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when He has suggested and He has advised and commanded that we do this in this circumstance, that we don't enter, it is a way that we will remedy the situation. We will not enter into the town. So this is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Umar says, yes, we are fleeing to the command of Allah Ta'ala. It is the command of Allah Ta'ala, therefore we will not enter into this town.